So I just wonder, have a, take a survey. How many cannot hear English? Okay. I'm just try to preach in English or Chinese because we don't have a translator. So I, is that okay? I'm preaching Chinese, English. Is that what we're supposed to do? Okay, since the most time we just preach in Chinese, so why don't we this time just make it a little different? I'm just going to preach in English. I'm trying to do my best, all right? So if I'm if you hear something that doesn't look like English, I must speak in tongue or something. So don't worry about it. I'm going to try to make it as much as I can. All right. So today I want to share with you a message. It's based on Psalm 5. All right. So if we all turn our Bible into Psalm 5, let's read the Psalm and then we see what we can what God want us to know about from this Psalm. Right. So this Psalm 5. And we can just read in unison, right? You can read in English, read in Chinese, whatever you prefer. I think we all think. So I'm reading in Chinese right now. And you can read in English, all right? So let's all read together, right?
耶和华，求你留心听我的言语，顾念我的心思，我的王，我的神啊。 求你垂听我呼求的声音，因为我向你祈求，耶和华，早晨你必听我的声音，早晨我必向你陈明我的心意，并要警醒，因为我是恶事的神，恶人不能与你同居，狂傲人不能站在你眼前，凡作恶的都是正恶的，至于我。 说谎言的，你必灭绝；好流人血、弄诡诈的，都为耶和华所憎恶的。至于我，我必凭我丰盛的慈爱进入你的居所，我必曾敬畏你的心，向你的殿下拜。耶和华，求你因我的仇敌，凭你的公义引领我，使我的道路在我面前正直。 因为他们的口中没有诚实，他们心里满了邪恶，他们的喉咙是敞开的坟墓，他们用舌头赞美人。神啊，求你定他们的罪，因他愿他们因自己的计谋跌倒，愿你在他们许多的过犯中把他们逐出，因为他们背叛了你。凡投靠你的，愿他们喜乐，时常欢呼。 因为他你庇护他们，又愿那爱你名的都靠你欢心，因为你必赐福于一人。耶和华，你必用恩惠如盾牌四面护卫他。
Alright, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and for this moment, and teach us with your word, and we ask your Holy Spirit with us, so that when we not only hear your word, we also have a heart to obey your word and follow your instruction. And bless this time and bless each one of us. And we're praying in the name of Christ. Amen. Alright, so if you look at this Psalm 5, this is David's prayer, right? It's very clear that it's David's prayer. And there's no particular time, say when David wrote this poem, right? Wrote this song. And but most biblical scholars believe that David wrote this psalm while he was escaped from his son's rebellion, Absalom's rebellion, at that time. Right, and when he's running away from Jerusalem, and Absalom was having some people to chasing him, and he got a pretty miserable life. at that time, right? So even you, which I think is probably true, if you look at the verse 9, right? If you think about 2 Samuel chapter, from chapter 15 to 17, recording several things, right? Recorded several things that David encountered at that time. And then if you look at verse 9, what he talks about those wicked people, what they do, and you can see they kind of match each other's situation, right? And then match together. The most three things, right? When he's running away from Jerusalem and running away from Absalom's pursuit, and the three things that like in particular you feel pretty bad about it is a very, I guess as a person probably you will feel very sad and very angry about it, right? So first thing is that, well, I'm not putting in order, right? So one thing obviously when David ran away from Jerusalem, and then Absalom and his son, rebellious son, basically says, he got the city, got the Jerusalem, and then one of his council, basically that guy, I don't know what his name is, but you can look at his name, basically says, Absalom asked him, okay, what I can do so that the people of Israel can kind of know me and can obey me. And their council basically says, give a very wicked idea. Said that what you can do is just get all your father's concubine, get all of them and sleep with them in front of all the people. So all the people would say, oh yeah, they will obey you rather than David, right? So you can see, it's just like Psalm 5, verse 9 in the middle says, right? In verse 9, he said, the wicked people, right? He talked about verse 9, he said, their heart is filled with destruction, right? 用中文说来说，他们的心里满了什么邪恶，right? So it's just like that idea, right? Second thing he ran into is he ran into a guy which is who managed the house of his friend, and when he ran it and he go out, the servant is. I think it's his best friend's son, all right, his servant. And that servant went out and he prepared like a wine and prepared bread and go there, right? And go there to meet with David because David was running. And so he basically says, oh, I prepare all those bread for you and wine for you, and then David just asked him, "What about how's your master?" And he said, "My master is still in Jerusalem, and my master is going to revenge, because you basically took the kingdom from my master's father. So actually, it's telling lies, right? It's deceiving. He didn't say the right truth." And he says, good things, so I prepared this for you, and my master is running away. He's not with you. He's not good, right? So if you look at this, it's just like verse 5 said, right? Verse 9 said, not a word from their mouths can be what? Trusted, right? Can be trusted. And then the third thing is when he ran into one place and then one guy called, he just cursed him. He cursed David, right? But David didn't say anything. David just tolerated it. He just let him curse him or whatever that is, right? So it's just like a verse 9 said, okay, their tongue, their throne is open grave, right? Open grave, and with the tongue they speak deceit. So basically, what I'm saying is pretty much it's true that when David wrote this psalm is the time when he ran away from this a very troubled time. The troubled time, basically, he's pursued by somebody and people cursing him and people do bad things to him. He's very hurt, very hard, and he is asking God for help, right? Asking God not only for help. Actually, this psalm is the first psalm. It's called a psalm with a curse, right? With a curse, basically says he asked God to rend his judgment on the people, and also want the people to instead of well just proclaim what's their consequence, you know, judgment consequence, all those things, right? So if you look at this this psalm, it's in a very tough situation. Relationship, people's relationship, environment, it basically is a very tough, very difficult situation when you pray. And this prayer is a very personal prayer. This is a very personal prayer, right? If you look at Psalm 4, Psalm 4 is his prayer in the night, before you go to bed. And Psalm 5 is a prayer in the morning, right? The morning prayer. So this is a very personal prayer. So what we today, when we come to, when we try to look at this psalm, we'll try to see what God can teach us, what David's prayer can teach us about our prayer. And so today I want to convey one thing to you is that I think David, this psalm shows us that a real prayer is a God-centered worship. Okay? 一个真正的祷告是以神为中心的一个敬拜。 Right. A real prayer is God-centered worship. Right. So we're going to look at from this psalm. We're going to look at from four perspectives. We look at this how a prayer is a true prayer is a God-centered worship. All right. It's a worship. It's not just we speak something. All right. So the first point I want to share with you, and I hope that when we look at this, we can really improve our life, our prayer life, so that we can really that through the prayer, our prayer, our dedicated life of prayer, we can really that have the blessing of God to upon us, so that we can really experience that Psalm 5, 11, 12 said, right? If you look at the Psalm 5, 11, 12, we said, but let all who take refuge in you be glad, and let them ever sing for joy. And spread your protection over them, for those who are love you, name, and rejoice in you. For surely, our Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Right? So basically, when we really kind of improve our life, a prayer life, then we can really have the blessing, which is we take refuge in Him, and we have a joy in Him, we're glad in Him, and also He protects us with His shield, right? So we can really experience this type of protection there. So, first thing I want to say is that prayer, if it's a God-centered worship, then prayer is not only we speak to God, it also is a time that let God reveal and consider our sign and our thoughts and speak to us. Alright? That's the first thing. So, 就说, 祷告是一个以神为中心的敬拜的话, 那祷告就不是光我们向神说话, 也是让神来监察我们的心思, 纠正我们, 来改变我们的时候. Alright? So if you look at us, Psalm, the very first three verses, right? He said, Lord, give ear to my word. That basically says, I'm saying something, right? I'm saying something. But he said, oh Lord, consider my what? Sign. And some English versions said, consider my meditation. Alright? So, one is, hear my word as I'm speaking. And my sign and my meditation is what? My thoughts. It's not necessarily I'm saying. You know, there's one thing that's important. It's in particular, when we at a difficult situation or something urgent, when we pray, sometimes what we said and what we think is not the same thing. Do you ever run into this? Some difficult situation. when I pray that, but my thoughts go somewhere. I wanted to do something. I wanted to do my own things or whatever. That's different. So if it's a worship, if it's a worship, then it's not only we speaking to God. A lot of times our prayer end up with what? Say something to God, and when we finish, we leave. You know, that's it. We go. And a personal prayer, he said, well, hear my word, but also what? Consider my sign. Consider my meditation. Basically said, well, Lord, reveal to me with your light, reveal to me what my soul is. My soul and my thoughts, my language actually in please you. This is the something, right? 圣经当中讲到就是说, 愿我的言语和我的怎么样? 心思在你面前怎么样蒙你的悦纳? It is very important when we not only say let God hear our words, we also let Him consider our meditation. Basically, when we pray, we no longer take God as just a listener, right? We not just take God as a listener. Rather, like David said, verse 2, he said what? When he called upon Lord, he called upon Lord to my God, and also what? My King. Is that right? He said, my God, my King. So basically, he said, when he prayed, God is not only listener, he's not my God, he's my King. He has the right to what? Control my life, to change me, to correct me, to change me. That's the thought he put in front of God, right? That's what it's sort of put in front of God. That's what he said, things here, right? So if we look at this, is a lot of times we need what? We need to have a time to, not only just don't say anything, but what? We just let God, waiting for the God to what? To speak to us. So verse 3 also talk about, also said what? It not only said, I'm speaking to you, but he also said, I laid my request before you, and in waiting for what? Waiting for expectation. Right? Waiting for expectation, which means that we speak to God, we praise Him, lay our request to Him, but we also what? Put our thoughts, put our mind in front of Him. So let Him examine us, let Him correct us, let Him what? Let Him change us. That's a worship, right? It changes us. It changes us. And so that's what here we can see here, right? So in our personal prayer, we really need to have a time. What? Don't be hurried. That's the question. That's the point. You know, don't be hurried, and this is all my things, this three things I'm going to talk about, and that's it. You know, I'm done. It's not the case. It's that I want to have a time for God to examine our heart, and it will speak to us. Right? It will speak to us. And remember, a lot of times, truly, especially in a difficult situation, urgent situation, a lot of times what we said and what we thought is not the same thing. If we can be quiet and spend time with the Lord, He will speak to us. He will correct us. He will change us. That is a worship. It becomes a worship. It's not just I'm asking for something. Right? So I don't know if you guys remember, a couple of years ago we have a pastor called Feng Jing. Pastor Feng Jin, and he come to us, give his testimony. He's right now it's the International Aviation Gospel Group things there. He used to preach in Canada, right? And he talked about one thing. He talked about one of his own experience, right? And he first know his wife is in a prayer meeting, right? He first know his wife near his wife is in a prayer meeting. And at the prayer meeting, she just feel that, oh, this girl just pray like an angel, right? So they know her, and they get married, and his wife actually with him all the time when he served the Lord, right? They have a very good relationship, love among them. And one day, until one day, that his wife actually had cancer, right? Had a cancer, and initially, I think it's when they find it, it's already last stage of the cancer, right? So basically, about 6 or 7 months, and his wife died, and he talked about all the time he basically, tried to help his wife and all those things. The day his wife died, and he prayed. And he prayed, he said, well, he prayed, but he said, in a moment, almost like 6 months, 7 months, all the exhaust, all the stress, all the painful feeling all come to him. He just couldn't hold it anymore. And he just, in his thought, he said, Lord, you're not fair. You didn't treat me right, and you didn't hear my prayer. All right? That's his thought. That's his son. And then he didn't leave there. He just still be silent in front of God. And after a while, he said, clearly there's a voice in my heart. He said, yes, I didn't hear your prayer, but 2,000 years ago, I also didn't hear my son's prayer. Okay? And he instantly realized that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Lord, if it's thy will, Father, take this cup away. But God didn't answer. And suddenly, it's just like a light. He said, I just feel the light strike me. He said, who am I? Right? God even didn't hear his only son's prayer. And he realized that what Hebrew says, Jesus Christ, because of the suffering, learned obedience. And then he rededicated himself to a new minister, a new minister. So he shared this, right? I'm just thinking, it's really, see, how when we have a time, when we give our time to God, let him to examine our sign, let him to consider our meditation, and he will teach us. And this prayer, it become a worship. This prayer will proclaim that our Lord is our King, is our Lord, is our God. He has absolute right upon us. So it's no longer an ask for something or change the situation, but rather we're waiting for the time that God can change us. That's the first thing I want to share with you. Second, from this song we can see is that a God-centered worship. If our prayer is a God-centered worship, then our prayer become a commitment for us to be in a relationship with God. Okay? Alright? So, 如果是祷告是以神为中心的敬拜的话，那我们祷告呢，就是我们与神建立亲密关系的一个尾声，是一个尾声 ，a commitment， right？ It's not just like something I do when I feel needed， all right？ Well, it's a commitment. If you look at this psalm, you can see clearly says what。He said in verse 3, he said what? In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you in the morning. It's a time, right? It's a time. And in verse 7, he said, in reverence, I will bow down towards you, your holy temple. Alright? So in your holy temple, I'm going to worship you. And then in the morning, I'm going to pray to you. So what he basically saying is that one is we see a time, morning. Another is what? A place, temple, right? Temple is another place. Morning and time. If you look at morning is what? Everyday thing. So every day I give my what? The very early time to the Lord. Alright, the same pastor I'm talking about, Pastor Feng Jing, And I think if you guys remember, he said from the very early time he heard one missionary told him when he became a Christian, and the missionary told him, he said, okay, no Bible, no breakfast, right? Right, the full words, no Bible, no breakfast. He said, later on, he said, I kind of developed, he said, no prayer, no breakfast, right? He said, I always devote through all the difficult time of serving God or whatever, I basically devote my best of my time, the early time to the Lord in the morning. What he basically says is this. He said, I learned this. Before I run into people and God, things, I have to run into God first. Meet God first before I meet people. Meet God first before I meet the world and things. And I hear God first before I hear the world. Hear God first before I hear people. So that's what it says, right? And I have to acknowledge today in this busy world, it's a challenge, especially for us, for those of us in the work field. It's a very big challenge. That's where the commitment comes in, right? Because of the challenge, so we need to commit. We need to commit ourselves. We need to commit ourselves. So that's the place. We need to give our time to the Lord to pray. That's a worship. It's a commitment. We want to have a close relationship. Jesus said, He is the vine, right? We're the branch. We have to connect to Him so that we have the life there. So if you think about this, you would just say we need to commit our time to God to prayer. So the best time actually is in the morning, and the most challenging for us right now is in the morning too. So I guess in this time I'm challenging myself, and I challenge everyone here is that let's try to give our best early time to the Lord. Before we hear people, we hear God. Before we meet people, we meet God first. So that's one. And second thing, he said, I will bow down in your temple, right? In your temple. That's a place. You see that place? But you want to say, oh yeah, I mean, I come to worship in the church. I come to pray in the church. Tuesday prayer meeting, I'm coming to church. But if you be careful here, if you look at this verse, if you think about the background, you would think, number one, in David's time, there's no temple. Right? Temple is built after what? After David passed away, actually, Solomon built a temple. At that time, in Jerusalem, there's only place that put the tabernacle. That's a temple. But the problem is what? David, at this moment, David is what? David is running. David is not in Jerusalem, right? David is not in Jerusalem. David is running somewhere in the wilderness. He's running. So, what is he talking about? I bow to your temple. What is he talking about? He's not talking about a place, right? He's not talking about place. And if you look at verse 7, it said, but I, by your great mercy, I will enter your house and bow down to your temple. Right? It makes it very clear. David is clearly now the temple of God or tabernacle. All symbolize one thing is what? The very presence of what? God. Okay? The very presence of God is what the temple means. So basically, what he says is what? Basically, what he says. By your great mercy, I can come to your presence. So there is no place, no physical place, but what? Every moment I can always what? By your great mercy, I can come to your presence. Now, David actually, when he speaks this, he speaks sort of like he actually is looking for something in the future is going to become a reality. Today, for us, this actually become a reality. Is what? By the great mercy of God. What's the great mercy of God? Is the 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on what? Died on the cross. When he died, and the temple's what? The curtain actually split down from the top to the bottom, right? top to the bottom. And the book of Hebrews says what? He used his body, opened what? A new road for us. So everyone can come to what? Anytime everyone can, by his blood, by his body, everyone through him, we can come to the very presence of what? Of God. Come to the temple of God, right? So that's what it is. So today, when we have looked at these things, is that this commandment tells us God, because Jesus opened this door for us. So we have this privilege. We can come to what? Come to the presence of God anytime, anywhere we want. So that's why in the book of Ephesians, and Paul told the Christian there, said that you got to what? Pray to the God every time, everywhere. You know, you got to pray that one. So if we look at us, we can see not only we want to our commitment to good relationship to God, our prayer as a worship, not only we want to have a commit a good time, chunk of time to God every day, and also it's to remind us what? Remind us that every moment we can always what? Come to God in prayer. Every moment. That's what David is saying. David said, I come to your temple to worship you. And at that moment he's in running, he's in the wilderness. There's no temple, even there's no tabernacle there, but he knows as long as what? He, by the great mercy of God, he always can come to the very presence of God. Right? So this is something we want to see. Any times whenever work got a difficult or whatever personal relationship has something, anytime we can always what? Come to the God to prayer. That's the personal relationship. More we have this type of prayer, we have a more have what? Relationship with God, right? Relationship with God. So the second thing that we want to say is that basically a God-centered worship, prayer as a God-centered worship, it is a commitment of us to God to be a good relationship with God. Alright, so we need a commitment. Alright, need a commitment there. Alright. And if you look at David said here, so he learned that the reason we can enter the very presence of God, it's not by our own virtue or by our own goodness, but by the great mercy of God. So as we said that, you know, we can pray every time and everywhere, but there's something it's also important. Like Sunday we come to worship, Tuesday we come to prayer meeting. Those, if we think about whenever we have the right to come to the very presence of God, is by the mercy of God and by the love of God. If that thing, so we don't treat those opportunities trivially. Right? If we think about this as the grace of God that gave it to us, then we don't treat those opportunities trivially. We take it seriously. Or come to Sunday, worship with the brothers and sisters, to pray together. That's a great time that God gave us. We got to be what? We got to be treasure this type of moment. All right. Third thing David's prayer, we can see one thing is that if a prayer is a God-centered worship, then what he asked for, he cried out, is based on the virtue of God, not by how he sees things. Okay? He cried out, he asked for, is based on the virtue of God, but not his own understanding of things. Okay, so in Chinese, 如果祷告是一个以神为中心的敬拜的话，我们所呼求、我们所祷告的，必定以神的性情来作为基础。God's virtue as the foundation, right? 以神的性情来做基础，我们的呼求。Now, if you remember, the Psalm 5 is what? Psalm 5 is the first in the Psalm. Psalm 5 is the first Psalm. We so called a curse, right? It cursed people, said, okay, I mean, God's judgment is going to upon you, right? all those things. Now, if you think about this, a lot of times when we have a prayer, especially when in a certain situation, prayer, bad situation, bad relationship, or somebody hurt me, or somebody misunderstood me, or somebody something, and I pray for it. And when we pray for it, a lot of times, if we don't pay attention, our prayer is I condemn some people. Right? David here, if you look at his prayer, David is very clear. He said what? He said, you are not a God who takes pleasure, what? In evil. Right? With you, the wicked cannot do well. He's not saying, okay, this guy is an evil people. He said what? He said, you are not a guy who takes pleasure in evil. He's a side for what? His whole prayer is a side in God's holiness and God's character. God's virtue, God's character. Right? He says, well, all my inner spirit, even he says, God to have a judgment on the wicked people. But he's not based on what? He's not based on his own judgment. Rather, he said what? He's fighting for the God's righteousness, God's holiness. You know, and you all hear this joke, right? One pastor or whatever that basically said, well, there's one people always kind of say bad things about him, and he just tolerate, and he just I forgive him, whatever that is, right? And because he remember what the Bible says, okay, if you forgive them, you know, the enemy is just you put a fire upon his head, right? Is that what Jesus said in the book of the gospel, right? So if you forgive people, you just like put a fire upon them, right? So there's an interpretation of fire upon them. You can warm them, you can destroy them, right? Whatever that is. So that pastor just say every time that somebody is, you know, against him, he's always kind of very mad. He said, okay, I pray. The Lord, I pray, I forgive him, but don't forget. So I forgive him, but you need to put a fire upon him, you know. So you want to think, okay, so if I pray, right, if I pray, when I pray that God, if you look at David, when David pray here, he is not trying to express his own opinion of a bad people or something and want God to punish him. Rather, he's like, even he's, in the end, he still said God neither will punish those bad people, but he is what? He is citing God's character, not his. Now you would think, right? What's the difference if God says this is a bad thing, and I say this is a bad thing, right? What's the difference? If I see a bad thing, so I pray for it, right? This is a bad thing. That's a bad thing. And what's the difference between I said bad things and I cite that God sees this as a bad thing? What is the difference, if you think about it? If you think carefully, if I pray, I think this is a bad thing, then I put myself, what? I'm not in there. I'm not in the bad things. But if I pray that God, you see this is a bad thing, then I put myself in the same place, said, if what? If I basically said I have what? I have the same tendency what? I have the same sinful nature be capable of doing that bad thing also. Right? And if a God cannot be aware with a wicked one, then I, when I come to the Lord to prayer, I have to what? Very carefully examine myself. Do I have this type of wicked thoughts or wicked thing in me? If I have, I don't have what? I don't have the right to come to God to prayer. God cannot listen to my prayer. So once we have put God in there, God is the person who will not be well with the wicked one, but the one who will not what? Listen to the evil or take pleasure in the evil. Then I have to be what? Very aware of myself, right? When we come to the prayer, so it's oftenly that prayer, if we put God, we side with God's character, then we have to, very first things, we have to what? Come to the God, ask God what? Forgive our sins first, right? God has to forgive us first, right? So we come to the prayer, typically we will end up with what? first things we come to God is we acknowledge what? We sin against God, and then what? We ask Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ can cover us, so we can what? Come to the Lord in prayer. Right? So it's quite different things. It's quite different things. You guys all remember, well, we all remember that that the story that Jesus said about the Pharisee, right? Prayer in the temple said, okay, God, I'm good. I don't like that tax collector, right? I don't like the tax collector, and you know, I do whatever. Now, if you think about this, God don't like the what the. I think if God does not like the tax collector, what the tax collector is doing, right? The things, if he, you know, love other people, that's not good. The God don't like it. But what happened to the Pharisee, you know, his prayer is that he basically, his prayer said, well, he's doing bad things, right? And he's not, okay, but at the same time, he don't know that God actually hates the hypocrisy and hates people pride about their own religion, tradition, whatever that is, right? So the Pharisee basically is have the problem is that he look at his own, he didn't put himself in the same position. So if we have a prayer, and if we have a prayer there, we come to God. If it's a God-centered worship, then we always side on what? God's character, God's holiness. You know, even we ask God to say, deal with the what? Bad things. Deal with the bad people. We're still not based on what? Based on our own, and rather based on God's character. Based on God's holiness, God's love, God's mercy, whatever that is, we're based on that. When we're doing this, now, when we pray, we basically said, when we pray for God's holiness, we remind us, we side for the God's holiness, that, then what? Then not only the things we talk about need God's holiness judgment from us, we also recognize one thing, that we need what? We need to be dealt with the God, with the God's holiness, right? Whenever God, alright, so whatever that happened. So, Right? If you look at this, Psalm 5, if you look at this, verse 7, right? Verse 7, just the first two words is what? But me, right? But me, you see that? But me. And 中文是至于我, right? If you think about it, he said, well, even that I look at all those what, wicked people, even I look at the people doing so bad things to me, even that this world is full of materialism seeking for the wealth, whatever that is, but me. His prayer has a but me portion. It's kind of determination. It's kind of a proclaim something. And if we said prayer is a commitment to the good relationship with God in the second point, then prayer also contains the determination of what? Follow God. Alright? But me. So our prayer should have a but me. We all should have a but me. Even the world is what? Even the world is all the wicked people, people lying to get the benefit, but me always what? Want to do the God right thing. I don't want to take what? Use a liar to gain benefit of myself. Even the world is all seeking material benefit, materialism, whatever, but me, I would like to live the world in God's priest live a pure life. You know, even the world is all busy on all their own things, whatever that is. But me, I would take God's service in my heart. I want to put in the my first place. Even the people is hurting me and say bad things for me, but I want to have what? I want to do the thing, the right thing from God. So if you look at this, it's a prayer, it's a baby at this whole very bad situation. And he said, but me. And he said what? He has a two will. You see that? He said, I will. By your grace, I will come into your house, right? And then it said, I will bow down to your temple. So, and that's the verse 7 and the verse 8, and it asks that what? Lord, lead me in your righteousness, make straight your way before me. He wants what? Even the world looks like twisted and wicked and whatever that is, he wants what? He wants to walk in the right way. He wants Lord to make his path straight. Not in the world, but in the Lord's side. He wants to make it straight. So, it's another, the prayer of worship, it's a starting point, our commitment to action too. It's a commitment to action too. So, you have that determination, that proclaim, and whatever that is, you just say, okay, I want to do this. From David's prayer, we see very clear that we have that type of commitment, right? We have that type of commitment. And for the last several minutes, breakfast, right? Several minutes breakfast, we have been watched the cross in China, right? We watched this particular things, mass breakfast, we watched that, 十字架在中国, right? And we see a lot of people have their testimony, and a lot of people have their testimony said, most people are young person when they were in the time when China, during the period of time Communist Party overtook China, that during that period of time. And most of those Christians, they later sort of used greatly, suffered greatly and used greatly by the Lord in China, is that most people at that time are young person. And they actually experienced a lot of struggle in that time, because the new country is born, new policies come, and some of the people would know if they continue hang on with the Christianity, their future in the world view is pretty much done. There's no future. And we see a lady, right? We see a lady called that she actually, I personally met her before, and she is a very talented music school student, right? She is very talented. And at that time, the president of the music college basically come to her, tell her that, all right, two things. Either you give up Christianity or you don't have a future for your music career, right? And so at that time, a lot of people, I know many of them, basically, what they do is in the prayer. In the end, their prayer is what? But me. Right? In the end, there's always but I. I know what happened there. I know what in future could hold. Right? What can happen. But I will follow your will. So they not only have that prayer, and with their prayer they go on. And if someone spent a jail for 20 years, 10 years, whatever that year is, and So you would always think about, if they think back, yeah, their prayer is a worship. They put their own, the whole thing, their whole life in their prayer. But I will. So if a prayer is a God-centered worship, then that prayer must have the determination and the claim of that, regardless what the circumstance, regardless what the situation is. But I will follow God's will and let God lead my way. So today, actually, we pray, I think as a Christian, we pray all the time, right? And I think we can learn from this is we can, even for very small commitment, we can pray. When we pray, we put our commitment there. But I, okay, simply put it, but I will come to Sunday worship regardless of what. Regardless of what. But I will put with God's work. You know, church, there's a lot of God service work we need to do. And we have a lot of daily our own work there, right? So I can say, but I will serve the Lord. And we can, our prayer can put this but I into our prayer so that we have a determination to serve the Lord and to go God's way. Or we deal with the outside situation, all the in the world, we can say, all right, all the people pursuing this, but I would not follow the current. And all those things we can put in a prayer. That prayer becomes a worship. It's God-centered worship. Yeah. So, if you look at this, this psalm, if you think about it daily at this situation, right? People hurt him and against him, and he's running bad situation. But his prayer actually gave us something that we can see is that his prayer is, if you look at it from a face, you look at, oh, he's in a bad situation. He's asked God to basically deal with the people who persecuted him or treat him badly. But if you read carefully, if you look at this, you can see that David's prayer is not only asked God to hear his word, he also asked God to examine his soul and heart. Because he recognized God is the king. God is God. He has a right to correct him, to teach him, number one. Number two, and even in the very urgent situation, whatever that is, it's in the wilderness, it's running, but every morning he will still commit this relationship with God. Prayer is a commit relationship. In the morning, I will pray to you, and I will say to you, and in your temple, I will worship you. Even at that time, there is no physical temple whatsoever, right? But he knows, as long as we have a God-centered worship, we can at any time come to the very presence of a God to pray to him. And that today for us is even more clear that we can do this is not because of our own righteousness, but because Jesus Christ has done on the cross. Right? His body opened the way for us to come to his very presence. And then we can see that David, when he prayed, he always prayed, his ask, whatever he asked people to judge the bad people or judge, render his judgment, whatever that is. He is not based on his own understanding of the issue. Rather, he always side on one. He always used God's character as his basis for the prayer. It's not for his own understanding. And finally, a prayer is commit, determined that to follow God's way. We can always have a prayer always can lead us to a call for us to follow God's way. All right? So, hopefully we can learn from this psalm, and we can really think about our prayer, and maybe we practice in our prayer, right? Don't rush too quick with our prayer. Every day when we spend some time, give God time to examine our own meditation, our sign, not only just hear our word, and let God speak to us. And let us really commit ourselves. With a good relationship with God, we got to commit ourselves. And let's just see, always remember God's character in our prayer. And we determine to follow God's way and walk in the straight path of God in our daily life. So I believe if we really learn and pray and practice, I think in our life we will experience that who trusts Him will be joy in Him and will be glad in Him, and God will, by His grace, He will protect us with His shield. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time, and we thank You for Your word. Dear Lord, teach us how to pray, and let us know that today we have this privilege come to Your very presence to pray is because of Jesus Christ. He died for us, and today He, as a counselor and mediator, pray for us every day so we can just come to the very presence of God to pray. Lord, help us. Help us that to learn how to pray, and to in our practice we really can pray according to Thy will. And so our prayer can really become a help our spiritual growth, and as we grow our personal prayer life, this church can grow in Christ, and all together we can build the body of Christ. Be with us, and have mercy upon us. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.